You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. So come to the site. We're got you fully loaded there with all that you need to know, whether you're looking at the positional rankings, the sleepers and busts. My decider start sit column is up there, as it usually is, for Week 15. If you need a little bit more in-depth look at all the games, Matchup Focus Show from Wednesday with Jeff Ratcliffe is up there here on the Locked On Network. So check that out to catch up on anything you've missed during the week. You can follow me at Twitter at Vinny Iyer and Facebook Vinny Iyer as well. We're here on Thursday of Week 15. That means it's Lineup Focus with Tyler Lochner. He'll join us later in the show to help us look at the DFS values there on DraftKings and FanDuel. And we have a special game here, Listener League, for you on DraftKings. So we'll have a little bit more information on that a little later in the show. Around Tyler's visit, I'll look at the injury updates that you need to know going into Week 15. Start with the quarterbacks and running backs, and end there with wide receivers and tight ends and other things that we're watching this week that could affect our fantasy football lineups and our decisions this week. So we kind of do a roundabout here, start with the injuries, go to Tyler on DFS, and end with the injuries as well. So you'll be up to date with everything you need to know: price points, value players, matchups, everything. Now go a little with our little progressive that we do each week on Locked On Fantasy Football. And here, finishing this week, we'll still have two more weeks to go of the regular season to bring you all the insight you need to dominate the end of your leagues, and really do well in DFS to close the season as well. So let's look at the injuries here at quarterback. The big news out of Baltimore is that Lamar Jackson, he had the ankle injury. There was a bit of a concern against the Chiefs, but he'll be fine to play against the Bucs at home. And Joe Flacco, they made the decision yesterday. Flacco did practice in full, as well as Jackson, that Jackson will be the starter going forward. And not a surprise move at all, but just changes the way this offense molds. So if you were looking at Michael Crabtree or Willie Snead or John Brown, you got to cool off on all those guys because, yeah, the Bucs secondary is weak, but they're pretty weak against the run as well. So they're not going to deviate from that game plan. And I think they just like their team, and they see Jackson in this running game as the easiest way to punch into the playoffs. Now, for another game, Jeff Driskel popped up here for the Bengals. It's not too notable because you're not looking at Driskel, but something to keep in mind if you're looking at him as a cheap play against the Raiders or something like that because of his running throwing ability. But he's got right shoulder. He's going to play in that game against Raiders. That's good for Tyler Boyd this week, who has the excellent matchup against the Raiders in the slot. Matthew Stafford, maybe a reason why he struggled a little bit last week, popped up with a back injury, had only a little bit more than 100 yards against the Cardinals, so really hard to trust against the Bills. Aaron Rodgers still popping up with that knee on the injury report, but he's fine for the Bears. Again, don't be afraid of that matchup. Go in on it. Deshaun Watson for Saturday at the Jets has got that shoulder. He's still okay. Maybe not going to throw a ton in that game if they don't need to, and that's something you have to look at as well. You have Ryan Tannehill, who had the ankle injury pop up as well as the right shoulder. This week, playing the Vikings, I'm going to avoid, not really feeling a lot in the Dolphins passing game or running game in this particular week. Now, Sam Darnold is going to play that Saturday game as well against the Texans with the foot injury. He looked pretty good last week. I can't recommend him against the Texans, who can shut down just about everything. The big news we had was for Sunday Night Football. I wish they could flex this one out again, but no Carson Wentz. It's going to be Nick Foles. The Eagles were 9-point underdogs before the news there with Foles. So I'm just not going to go in the direction of Foles. So I don't know if I'm going to downgrade too much the Eagles' players. I don't think you're going to get the periphery players, but Alshon Jeffrey and Zach Ertz are where we're going with mainly again. Now, we're looking at the Steelers, and there was a little concern with Ben Roethlisberger because of the ribs injury and had to leave that game against the Raiders. Pretty much cost them the game because they didn't do anything while he was gone with Josh Dobbs in there. So, obviously, the Steelers' offense changes dramatically if he can't go, but he should go. They expect him to play here against the Patriots. And we'll talk a little bit more about him in DFS, but he's a great spot here. At home, Colt McCoy, we'll talk about his backup as well, Josh Johnson. He's out again with that fibula injury. They're keeping him off IR just in case they get to the playoffs and he has a chance to return there at some point. But that's basically the only reason. Now, we have to watch this David Johnson injury. Steve Wilks said he's going to play. It's a quadriceps. He's going to play against the Falcons there, and it's a good matchup for him. Ito Smith was also having a little issue with a neck injury, limited, but he'll play in that game against the Cardinals. LeSean McCoy doesn't look good here. His hamstrung here had to leave the game against the Jets, didn't return. So Chris Ivory, who there was a concern about him, but he's practicing here fine with the shoulder, and he's going to be the replacement back there, probably for McCoy, with a little bit of Marcus Murphy and Isaiah McKenzie mixed in there. Ezekiel Elliott popped up, a little bit of concern with the shoulder, but he's fine. He's going to play. They're very careful with him on early practice day, so he'll be fine against the Colts. Kerryon Johnson looks like he's going to miss another game here with the knee injury as he popped up as a no practice on Wednesday. Now, the development last week was that Zach Zenner kind of took the power back role away from LeGarrette Blount, who's just not looked good, lost a fumble. We'll see if that continues, but I don't see any reason that it wouldn't. It's just not a very good backfield with Theodore Riddick out of the backfield, and Zenner now cutting into Blount's touches as well. Now, you look at Kenyon Drake for the weekend. He's got that shoulder injury still. I don't think he's going to do the miraculous things he did against New England playing against the Vikings. However, the Jets, we're going to have to watch there. Isaiah Crowell is the guy that I think is totally out with the toe injury. Was still in a walking boot there. So Elijah McGuire should be okay with the ankle injury. Trent Cannon should be okay. I see some mix of these two backs. Again, don't love the matchup against the Texans, so don't reach necessarily in your playoff game. James Conner, they said there's a shot he could play. I don't think that's going to be happening here for the Steelers. So James Conner is going to miss this game against the Patriots. Jalen Samuels, we talked about it a little bit on matchup focused. He's still a guy that you like. Don't force a Stephen Ridley revenge game or anything of that sort. Ridley was pretty much used exclusively as a goal line back against the Raiders. So Samuels is a guy, you figure in a higher scoring game, they're going to throw some passes to him as well. So Samuels is your best replacement here for Connor in week 15. Now Matt Breida, and we look kind of like Jeff Wilson. We'll talk more about his value with Tyler here in a bit. But Matt Breida, the ankle, he is limited. We know that they haven't shut him down. They keep letting him play. So he's always going to be interesting in this mix. Rashad Penny, interesting injury for the Seahawks. He should be okay, but showed up with a knee injury and didn't practice there. So that could be a little bit more work for Chris Carson, which is not insignificant. He looks very good. They've been spelling him Penny and Mike Davis, but Carson on the road against the 49ers in a good spot to stay hot after his good Vikings game last week. And speaking of Vikings, former Viking Adrian Peterson showed up with that shoulder injury, is limited on the Redskins' initial injury report, but he'll be in there. Don't love the matchup against the Jaguars, even though they gave up that big game to Derrick Henry last week. I think there'll be some overcorrection and making sure that doesn't happen again, as Adrian Peterson, we know, is capable of reeling off those long runs as well. Now, before we bring on Tyler to talk DFS player values and targets for this week, I'm proud to tell you that this episode of Locked On Fantasy Football is sponsored by Action Heat. If you haven't heard of Action Heat, you should. They make the world's best battery heated clothing. It's heat on demand at a touch of a button. Control your environment with Action Heat clothing, which is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels similar to heated car seats. They can reach temperatures up to 135 degrees and are powered by a rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion battery that last up to 12 hours on each charge, and Action Heat batteries can also be used to recharge your phone or any other gadget while you're wearing them. This is a perfect gift for any friend or family member on your holiday gift list. Really, it's good for anyone who plays or works outdoors or just likes being outside or just doesn't like being cold when they're outside. And Action Heat is available in men's and women's styles, and they're great new styles and models just released for this winter season. And whether you're looking for jackets, gloves, hats, or even undergarments like heated base layer shirts and long johns, Action Heat is going to keep you warm and cozy from head to toe. Make winter activities more enjoyable with a blast of warmth. Action Heat is the perfect solution to keep you toasty and warm, even in the most frigid winter weather. And there's a special offer for you, the Locked On Fantasy Football listener. To save 20% off your first order, you just have to go to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. You can also use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20% there at actionheat.com, or just go to actionheat.com/lockedon. Stay warm this holiday season and make someone happy with the gift of Action Heat. And we thanks again for them sponsoring the podcast, and definitely check them out. They have so much good stuff there at this time of year. We'll be right back here with Tyler Lochner of Pro Football Focus to look at DFS advice for week 15. Joining me now, as he always does here on Thursdays for Lineup Focus with a specific look at DFS values, is Tyler Lochner of Pro Football Focus. How's it going, Tyler?
Hey, Vinny, I'm doing great. How about you?
Doing fine. Continued to survive and advanced in my playoffs in my year-long league, so I'm excited for that. And when I know that I'm winning some money in year-long leagues, at least in some stage, it makes me want to play a little bit more DFS at the end of the year. So it all works out. It's kind of a parlay situation. But I tend to play DFS more near the end of the season just because there's not as much excitement in the year-long in terms of trying to change your lineups. You're just trying to go with what you have and hope you score a few more points than the other guy. But it's an exciting time for sure, and we have a lot of good data and a lot of good games here still to finish out.
Yeah, for sure. I got bit by the year end curse on like OBJ and Melvin Gordon and James Conner. So it's kind of a bloodbath in season long leagues, but DFS is the reprieve.
Yeah, and let's dive right into what we have, and we'll start. We have to start talking about this New England-Pittsburgh game, and yeah, Ben Roethlisberger is a guy that you like this week, obviously. I mean, the ribs injury, didn't practice there early, but he's fully expected to play in this game. Now, you look at Roethlisberger, he is the second highest guy, I believe, on Sunday at 6,600 there on DraftKings. You're willing to pay up for him this week?
I am willing to pay up for Big Ben, and I guess it kind of remains to be seen on how chalky I think he'll be in cash games, but at least in tournaments, I really like him with a really high ceiling, obviously playing at home against the Patriots. This game could easily turn into a shootout. It has by far the highest over-under on the slate, currently at 52, and it opened at 49 or 49 and a half. So it quickly shot up a few points. So people definitely expect this to be a high scoring game. And I think with the rib injury, it's possible that his ownership is not the rib injury and his price. You mentioned he's pricey as well. So those two things combined might keep his ownership a little bit lower. I do still expect him to be high owned, but perhaps you're getting him at an ownership discount this week, which I like as well.
Yeah. Now the next guy that you have on the list is a little bit different from paying up for Ben Roethlisberger. It's Josh Johnson of the Redskins. And this guy wasn't even on a team here of late. You had quickly the Colt McCoy injury, and the Mark Sanchez wasn't very good. He looked very good in mop-up time there against the Giants last week running as well. And is that kind of the appeal for him, is the running part, as well as maybe being able to do things against his Jaguars defense?
Yeah, it's definitely the running part that's attractive to me. And I can mention a bunch of guys you've already heard of and everything, but I'm considering Josh Johnson. He's only 4,300 on DraftKings. He's like below what other backups are. So he really opens up a lot of salary. And in four drives. He played just four drives last week, about a quarter and a half, and he finished as the number three overall quarterback on the week. And that's because of his rushing ability. He had 45 yards and a rushing touchdown, and he wasn't bad passing either. He completed almost 70% of his passes for 195 yards and a score through the air as well. And again, he did all that damage in just a quarter and a half. It is a tougher defense this week against the Jaguars. It's in Jacksonville, so I'm not saying Johnson's going to play at such a high level throughout the whole game, but clearly with that rushing ability, he's got a lot of fantasy upside. And at that price, I'm intrigued.
Well, the guy you have number three, I really like this week, and I'm looking at him in a lot of DFS lineups, is Derek Carr at 5,400, because now I have two games of solid evidence of him playing well back-to-back. It's not fluky. He actually looks like the old Derek Carr the past two games, and they have a kind of a clue on offense here. And I mean, you got to like him in this matchup against the Bengals for sure this week.
Yeah, Carr is definitely one of my favorite sleepers of the week. It sounds like I'm not the only one thinking about him, but that's for good reason. I mean, he's put together back-to-back top QB7 performances. And then you mentioned it, the matchup against the Bengals is as good as it gets. The Bengals have given up the third most fantasy points per dropback to opposing quarterbacks so far this season. So obviously now that everyone's going to play Derek Carr, he's probably going to regress back to Derek Carr levels. But I'm willing to roll the dice on him this week.
Now, I see the guy there that at 5,900 you like is Cam Newton. I know he didn't really come through at all last week, and it was very disappointing there in that matchup. But when you look at it here, so you like his 5,900 here over Tom Brady on the other side of that Steelers matchup and Lamar Jackson as well.
Yeah, so it's worth noting that Newton is not on the main slate. So if you're playing the main slate, he's not an option here. But if you're playing some of the larger slates, I do like Newton as a bounce back candidate. He suffered from bad drops last week. I know his final stat line wasn't great, but there was including at least one touchdown drop. DJ Moore dropped one. And the Saints have allowed the fourth most fantasy points per dropback to opposing quarterbacks. So it's definitely a get right spot for Newton in a game that could turn into a shootout.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's a guy at home that typically plays well and comes through. So I think he also could be a bit contrarian if people are off him and worried about
that
shoulder. And that's always a good thing to attack those type of players. And looking at running back this week, we've got two expensive dudes there. One is at 9,000, Ezekiel Elliott, and 9,400 is Saquon Barkley. Only Todd Gurley is more expensive here on DraftKings. Now, how do you kind of look at these two guys, Elliott against the Colts and Barkley against the Titans?
So on the main slate, you really just have Barkley and Elliott to choose from. And then there's at least a $1,500 price jump between those two top guys and then the next tier, which begins with Leonard Fournette. So I think that most people are going to end up with at least one of Barkley or Elliott in their cash lineups this week, which means they're going to be really highly owned. Honestly, I like both of them. I don't think you can go wrong either way, but I do think I like Elliott, and not a lot of people realize that the Colts are kind of like an Atlanta Falcons light. They've given up a lot of receptions and receiving yards to running backs. They've given up the second most, in fact, this year. They've given up 93 receptions, which is obviously behind only the Falcons, and Elliott has turned into an elite pass-catching back. PFF's Scott Barrett noted that Elliott has more receptions over the last 6 weeks. He's got 40 receptions in that span than he had in his rookie season or last year. So just in the last 6 weeks, he's truly turned into an elite pass catching back.
Now, you did mention the Falcons and their troubles with pass catching backs. That's your next guy that you're looking at. And I see where you're going there as well with David Johnson. Very quiet game. Again, maybe people will be off him because it looked like he could do something in that Lions game. Did absolutely nothing, really. The whole offense did. But you kind of like him here on the road here to make up some production.
Yeah, I think of David Johnson as more of a tournament play this week. I think if I'm going to that price range on DraftKings, then it's hard for me to get away from Joe Mixon, who's $1,000 cheaper than David Johnson. I know Mixon's going to be really chalky, but with that said, I do like Johnson against the Falcons, and you nailed it. That's exactly what I'm referring to, and that's exactly why I like Johnson. he was targeted 10 times last week. He caught eight of those passes. He only gained 12 receiving yards, which is a really, really terrible yards per reception average. But obviously on a full point PPR site like DraftKings, those are valuable. And this game could get a little bit away from the Cardinals, which would lead to some more receptions for Johnson. So in tournament settings, I do like Johnson, especially considering the fact he hasn't scored since week 10. So people are really, really off him at this point.
Now, the next guy you have is Jeff Wilson there of the 49ers. And everyone is looking at Jeff Wilson. He's kind of the guy that fell from the heavens there to bail out a lot of people with running back issues there in their playoffs in week 14. But you got him at 4,600. He's really cheap. He's right down there with Deion Lewis. And he's actually, and this is funny, he's there with Devonta Freeman, who's not even playing.
It's so funny.
But is there any concern about Matt Breida there? He's back at practice with the ankle. We know this guy just keeps coming back. He's just like one of those video game bosses that you keep killing, but they keep coming back in their next thing. And he's actually more priced here at 4,700. Is there any concern that we know the 49ers are pretty loyal to him and keep playing him even though he's hurt and he just doesn't seem to go away in this backfield?
Yeah, and the listeners need to remember we're talking about this on early Thursday morning. So we really just have through Wednesday of practice reports. I know Breida practiced lightly on Wednesday, but obviously a situation that you need to monitor. But if Breida doesn't go, I think Wilson becomes a total smash play. The Seahawks are not formidable against the run at all. In fact, they've given up the fifth most fantasy points per touch to opposing running backs. Now, if Breida does play, I do think that makes Breida an interesting GPP option, although I'm not sure it gets rid of Wilson. I think obviously Breida is banged up enough, and Wilson, they gave him 24 touches last week, so they have no problem giving him the ball. I think he would still have a role if Breida's back in a limited capacity. So definitely a situation to monitor, but also definitely a situation to potentially take advantage of in tournaments if both guys play, because given how soft Seattle's defense is against running backs, there's opportunity for some big plays here.
Now, you're looking at a bargain running back on the other side of that Falcons-Cardinals games. Ito Smith, everyone's been talking him up a little bit. He did have a very good game against Green Bay, but Tevin Coleman also looked pretty good in that game, just got out of hand. He's 3,700 right now, and I think he's a guy that you have to look at. I also look at Chris Ivory in that range with looking like LeSean McCoy is going to miss that game with a hamstring. It looks like Ivory's okay, but Smith, I think just the matchup alone says play him, because I think both these backs could be productive for Atlanta this week.
Yeah, it's a really tricky situation because it does seem to be a full-blown timeshare. But Ito Smith can push for 8 to 12 touches at only 3,700, which is why he's attractive to me this week. And I know you mentioned the game got out of hand, which probably had played a big role in this, but Smith did out-touch Tevin Coleman, and we've seen Smith kind of act as the goal line back at times this season. There was a stretch in the middle of the year where he scored a touchdown in four or five games, so it would not surprise me to see him kind of regress back towards those positive touchdown numbers. He's not a safe play, I'll put it that way. He had zero rushing yards in week 12, just 22 rushing yards in week 13, 10 rushing yards in week 11, but the touchdown potential's there. He set a season high in targets last week. And he tied a season high in rushing attempts last week, and he's only 3,700.
Yeah, you got to look at that. And I know he's been a hot name out there. Everyone's been throwing him out, but there's good reason for that. And especially that price in the DFS, he's a little more attractive. Now, the guy that you have at wide receiver, I've also thought about this to try to get him in my lineup as much as possible, because he's cooled off because they haven't thrown to him. But I think there'll be an overcorrection with the new OC this week, playing the Dolphins, who really got destroyed by Julian Edelman last week in the slot, really down to some really bad corners, much like Philadelphia. So you're willing to pay up for him. He's the highest price now at 8,600.
Yeah, I definitely really like Adam Thielen this week. You mentioned the matchup against the Dolphins and how Julian Edelman shredded them. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that Miami is rolling out Bobby McCain in the slot, who's given up 0.4 fantasy points per route covered, which is the fourth most among this week's starting slot corners. So you take the best slot wide receiver in the league and Adam Thielen, and you put him up against one of the worst slot corners on a fantasy points basis. And you've got good things for Thielen's outlook.
Now, Devonta Adams has a tougher matchup, but he's one of those weekly, just comes through, gets in the end zone, seems like every week. Prince Amukamara could be the coverage guy here, but we know it's Aaron Rodgers. We know it's the Packers. It doesn't matter if it's the Bears defense. Aaron Rodgers seems to get it done. And at 7,900 on DraftKings, Adams may be a little bit overlooked maybe on in terms of that defense on the other side. And is that kind of why you like him this week?
I do like Adams. I think he's a little bit too cheap. His average stat line this whole season is 7 catches, 92 yards, and nearly a touchdown per game. So that's just his average. He's averaging almost 3x value on his salary, which for cash games is kind of what you're looking for. But then that obviously gives him access to a really high ceiling. And we have seen Chicago, his opponent this week, we have seen Chicago get lit up by outside wide receivers this year. I think most recently was Stephon Diggs, who had 13 catches, 126 yards, and a score against them. So even though the Chicago defense is obviously fantastic, they have at times struggled on the perimeter, and Adams is as good as they get on the perimeter. So I do really like Adams this week.
Now, Josh Gordon, it was a little disappointing that Rob Gronkowski got in the end zone, Julian Edelman got in the end zone. Gordon looked very good against the Dolphins last week. He just didn't get his, but interesting matchup against Joe Hayden. I still think Gordon can beat that matchup. 6,400 here, pretty darn cheap for a top outside wide receiver.
Gordon's definitely a little bit frustrating because he's only scored 3 touchdowns as a member of the Patriots this year, despite seeing really healthy targets. He's topped 90 receiving yards several times. He's topped 100 receiving yards several times. I know last week he had 8 targets, 5 receptions, 96 yards, but you mentioned no score. We've yet to see this ceiling game from Gordon in New England, and I think if it's going to happen this year, it's going to happen against Pittsburgh in a game. I've said this a few times, but this game could very easily turn into a shootout. So I really like Gordon here. I think he's going a little bit overlooked because of his lack of weekly touchdowns. And obviously he's not guaranteed to score any given week. New England has a lot of weapons, but he is one of those weapons. So he could find his way into the end zone.
Yeah. Next guy you have that we were looking at is D.D. Westbrook. And I kind of like him as well. He's like my cheap third wide receiver in my DFS lineups this week. Like I've got one of the Vikings in there, somebody from the Patriots-Steelers game, and then D.D. Westbrook seems to be the guy that I keep gravitating towards. He's 4,500 on DraftKings. I think he's only like 5,300 on FanDuel. So pretty cheap on both sites here when you look at it. And it's Greg Stroman, probably the slot for the Redskins. He's banged up here. Probably going to play, but a guy that's been totally beatable in a lot of matchups. So Westbrook coming off a big game seems like the only viable receiver there with Cody Kessler.
Yeah, I should mention this is a really, really ugly main slate. There's a lot of good teams not playing on the main slate and tough matchups, and pricing is pretty solid, especially on DraftKings. So it's hard to completely, totally love your lineup, but obviously that creates opportunity to find some guys that maybe not everybody else is thinking about, because the winning lineups this week are not going to be all chalk. So we'll start by saying that. And I think Westbrook is one of those guys that not a lot of people are going to be thinking about, even though the Redskins have given up the 6 most fantasy points to opposing wideouts this season, including multiple touchdowns to the position in 3 straight games. And Westbrook, over his last 3 games, he's averaging exactly 3x value on his salary. And you mentioned a solid rapport with Kessler. So I think he's got a lot of positive things going for him in kind of an under-the-radar kind of way.
Now, I'm looking at the Bears passing game, and I really want to play someone in this Bears passing game. And it's just really hard the way that Mitchell Trubisky is playing. But maybe the guy to look at if you're going to the bargain bin here's at 4,200 on DraftKings, Taylor Gabriel. And do you like him kind of because of the ability to get in the open field? Maybe they'll throw a little bit more short passes this week?
Gabriel is just too cheap to me for the amount of targets he's seen. He's got at least 7 targets in 4 straight games. The yardage has not been there each of the last 2 weeks, but he does have a season-long average depth of target of 11.3. So I know that we know that he can go off any given week. It's just hard to find somebody at that price point that sees that many targets. Maybe it's just wishful thinking for me because he really hasn't done anything of significant note since week 6. He had a decent game in week 11 on Thanksgiving, but I think overall Gabriel has been a little bit of a disappointment, which I think has kept his salary low, but his usage is just so good for that price point that if I'm looking for a receiver in that range, he's the one.
Now, looking at tight end, and everyone, I think we've all come to the agreement as a fantasy community that there's only the big 6 at tight end that we pick from consistently here with Travis Kelce, who's playing on Thursday. So he's not going to be an option here. But Zach Ertz, George Kittle, Eric Ebron, Rob Gronkowski, and Jared Cook are these are the guys that we can trust to really help us at tight end every week. And now when we look at the battle top here, you like Kittle and Gronk this week. They're 6,300 on DraftKings for Kittle, 5,800 for Gronk. Eric Ebron price in between. Zach Ertz more expensive than both. And so where are you going, Kittle or Gronk, if you had to make that choice?
Can we step back and just appreciate the fact that Eric Ebron and Jared Cook were mentioned in the same sentence as those other guys? I think I like Kittle just because his target volume has been so dang consistent with Nick Mullins at quarterback. He's got at least 9 targets in 4 straight games. And then nobody has the ceiling that he does. I guess you could say that Ertz and Kelce do, but they don't seem to have the 70-yard catch and runs like Kittle does every other week. So I really, really like Kittle's yardage upside, his touchdown upside, his target upside. So it's very steady. I think Graham Barfield of NFL.com tweeted out a great stat, which was that Kittle's yards after the catch average is the best of any wide receiver or tight end since at least 2006. So he's a monster with the ball in his hands. And that's not to say that I don't like Gronk. He's got a great week 15 matchup against the Steelers, who he has just absolutely dominated throughout his career. He averages over 110 yards and over a touchdown per game against them. So I like both guys, but if I'm choosing between one, I'm going with Kittle.
Now, if you're not going with one of the, I guess, big 5 this week without Kelce in the mix, Cameron Braid is who you're looking at, 4,000. I know what you're going with here because he did come through in a tough matchup against the Saints last week. And the Ravens, the one thing that they're kind of vulnerable against without Tony Jefferson there, look like he's going to miss another week at safety, is tight ends because you can't really throw in their corners as much. And at 4,000, a Brate looks like a pretty good value this week.
Brate's definitely somebody on my radar, especially at his cheap price point this week. You mentioned that the Ravens, their weakness is the tight ends, and that is so true. They rank in the top 3 against quarterbacks, running backs, and wideouts if you're looking at fantasy efficiency against those positions. But they have given up the 7th most fantasy points per target to tight ends. And tight ends have also scored against the Ravens in 6 of their last 7 games. And as we know, Braid's specialty is scoring touchdowns. So the puzzle pieces match for him this week.
Yeah, and Kyle Rudolph is a guy that I want to like a little bit more. I mean, at 3,500, I think the biggest issue with Kyle Rudolph is they don't throw to him enough. But they might change here with the new offensive coordinator, try to get him involved. The Dolphins can be vulnerable against the tight end. I think I would go either way. But at 3,500, I think you have to look at him on DraftKings.
He's a player that I'm not quite sure I can pull the trigger on and trust, but he is most definitely on my radar against the Dolphins, who've given up the 3rd most fantasy points per target to tight ends this season. And then you mentioned the new offensive coordinator. There's a little bit of an unknown going in here, which is another thing that makes Rudolph intriguing, although potentially risky. So he's on my radar at his cheap price point with the good matchup, with the possibility of a new offensive coordinator getting him a little bit more involved. Not a cash play for me, but certainly on my radar for tournaments.
Now, on defense special teams, we'll close with this. I do really do like the Ravens, even though we just talked about Cameron Brate maybe doing some damage. I don't know if much else is going to work there for the Buccaneers offense. They're only 3,000 on DraftKings. They're the highest priced on FanDuel at 5,000. On DraftKings, the Jaguars are 3,400. Where do you kind of look at your price point this week? I know you like to go cheap, but I think that Ravens value looks pretty good at 3,000.
I do like the Ravens. They're at home against Jameis Winston, who's played quite well recently. But as we know, a total meltdown four interception game is certainly in his bag of tricks. The Ravens have a high ceiling with defensive touchdown potential. We saw them score two defensive touchdowns against Oakland. We saw them score another defensive touchdown in week 13 against Atlanta. Anytime they get their hands on the ball, good things seem to happen for them, and they've got a good chance of getting their hands on the ball several times against the Bucs. So I don't mind paying up for the Ravens, and I also don't mind paying up for the Jaguars. I know I said that I like I like some aspects of Washington's offense this week, especially with Josh Johnson at quarterback, but the Jaguars are in a great bounce back spot. I know they're super expensive, but they are still in a great bounce back spot because despite the fantasy points he could rack up on the ground, Josh Johnson will also likely turn the ball over at least a couple of times.
Yeah, so I think it's just weighing it there, but a lot of things that stand out defensively, and usually can't go too wrong if you've got a stacked lineup elsewhere. That's kind of the moral of DFS there. So Tyler, thanks a lot for your insight this week. What do you have working on at Pro Football Focus with DFS that people should be checking out this week?
So later today on Thursday, you can find my DraftKings cash guide for the week, as well as my sleepers and busts, which have DFS implications. On Friday is my FanDuel tournament guide, and then on Saturday are my DFS locks of the week, which you do not need a PFF subscription to read. Anybody can read it, so definitely check that out before you set your lineups.
All right, there you have it. There's all the good advice. There's more advice to be read there. Thanks a lot, Tyler. We'll talk to you next week. Good luck in your games this week.
Thanks so much, Vinny. You too.
Thanks again to Tyler for that great spot, as always. And again, we've been pumping up DraftKings here, and that's what I've been kind of building up to, that we do have a DraftKings listener league for Locked On NFL Network. Tweeted out the link there. You can check it out. And it's a contest that only starts at $3. So you can get in, compete in a 25-player pool there. And it's a decent-sized pot there for you to take home and get in and on the action on DraftKings. And once you start playing on DraftKings, you'll be hooked. It's just fun if you're a fantasy football player. If you're new to DFS, is a good time to join. With a year long wrapping up and a few more weeks here, get your feet wet a little bit here for NFL season next year. Or if you're into NBA or MLB, that'll get the bug going as well. So I'd urge you to really try DraftKings. And now we have a listener league just for Locked On NFL Network. And it'll be a lot of fun to get you guys in there and gals for this little league we're doing here to end the season over the last few weeks there. DraftKings, never better time to join and play and try to win some big money in fantasy football beyond your year-long leagues. I'll be right back here with a look at the wide receiver, tight end, and other injuries you need to know here going into week 15. Now let's pick up at the wide receiver spot as we promised here. Chad Williams of the Cardinals in this Falcons game, he's probably not going to play. A different injury. He had a knee earlier, hamstring. So that's going to be more of this Sherfield character in action for you. And I'm not trusting him. I'm trusting Larry Fitzgerald, who got rested from practice there. Julio Jones added another injury, foot and a calf now for Julio Jones, but he's fine. He had a big game against Green Bay. He's going to play against Arizona. You have Allen Robinson popping up with a hip injury in practice. They think he's going to play against the Packers. He just hasn't really been too effective there, and we'll probably get Jair Alexander in coverage. Now, Cole Beasley, he's been okay with that foot injury. He's going to be in there. Tavon Austin could possibly be a return for the Cowboys. Add a new wrinkle. Remember, he was the only wide receiver game in town before they had Amari Cooper there. So adds a wrinkle, maybe another weapon there for Dak Prescott to take advantage of in that game against Indianapolis. Cortland Sutton, Saturday game again with him. Quad, he's going to play probably. He was upgraded, limited. He didn't practice there early in the week on Tuesday, but he's going to play in that game. So if you need Sutton, keep in mind it could be a tough matchup. We'll have to check on Denzel Ward if he's cleared from the concussion. If not, then Sutton becomes a slightly more appealing play. Bruce Ellington of the Lions, he had a hamstring that popped up in Arizona last week. I don't see him going against Buffalo, but we'll see. He could get some work in here late. You're still not going to trust him unless you're really desperate. Randall Cobb was limited with the hamstring, but coming off one of his better games of the season last week against Atlanta, gets the Bears. He had that big touchdown against them in week one. So there's Randall Cobb. You have Equanimee St. Brown not doing much of this offense behind Devontae Adams and Cobb, but he's going to be out there for Aaron Rodgers to at least help him as another target. DeAndre Hopkins stays on the injury report with the foot, but he's fine here for this Jets game on Saturday. T.Y. Hilton had an ankle injury that's popped up and didn't practice early in the week. They expect him to play like last week, grind through it. Could face a lot of Byron Jones, however, in that matchup against the Cowboys. Dontrell Inman missed last week with a shoulder injury, but practicing back in full, and he should be back in the mix. So if you're reaching for Zach Pascal, you should know that Inman is probably going to push him back now the depth chart. DJ Chark didn't practice. He's not going to play or miss another game for Jacksonville. Really, it's been the D.D. Westbrook and no one else show in this passing game of late, as we mentioned him as a good DFS value. Now, Devontae Parker and Danny Amendola, I mean, Kenny Stills is going to get a lot of the attention here. Parker with the shoulders, limited knee, Amendola didn't practice, but I'm going to avoid those guys for sure. Now, Adam Thielen, we liked him a lot in DFS. We like him a lot, period. But he had an ankle injury there, played through it, practiced through it. He'll be fine against the Dolphins. You have Odell Beckham Jr. This is the one we'll be watching carefully with the quad. Started the week off as being limited. Early in the week, Pat Shurmur and Beckham thought he could play, and if he does, it's a great, great spot against the Titans secondary. Now, Robbie Anderson looked good last week with Sam Darnold. He scored. He's practicing in full with the ankle. Quincy Enunwa, notably, is not practicing with the ankle. Had a little bit of aggravation. So Sam Darnold and Robbie Anderson could be the connection again. The Texans' secondary can be beaten a little bit. So if you're looking for wide receiver help, you could do a lot worse than Anderson this week. Doug Baldwin, it's more a wait-and-see approach with him. They didn't sound overly optimistic that he'll be able to play against San Francisco, and they probably won't force him in because they're close to the playoffs now, and they really have no upside there. They can't win the NFC West. They can't fall really to number six. It's going to be really hard to do that, so they should feel good about beating the 49ers without Baldwin, so I could easily see them sitting him again if that hip is acting up. DeSean Jackson, you can't trust him to be healthy the rest of the season. He's got the thumb injury. More of Chris Godwin. It's a tough matchup, however, against the Ravens this week. You look at the Redskins, Josh Doctson has a concussion, so he might not be available there for Josh Johnson at quarterback. James Crowder did score last week with the ankle coming back and in his second game back, so he should be fine here there as a target for Johnson. A tight end, Austin Hooper popped up here, so we'll have to watch this one carefully. Knee and ankle for the Falcons in practice. They've been banged up at that position, so it could be just avoid the Falcons this particular week, but we'll see. Maybe Hooper can get good to go here later in the week with those multiple injuries. Now, David Njoku, notable that he wasn't limited early this week. He's been fully practicing with the knee here. We'll play Saturday against Denver. You look at Jeff Swaim, probably going to miss a game for the Cowboys again. You got Blake Jarwin and Dalton Schultz. They're taking over tight end. Don't love either against a pretty good Colts defense against the tight end. Matt Lacoste, he's just done nothing since that first game, especially now that Case Keenum has actually found other receivers like Nashawn Hamilton and Tim Patrick in there. So they don't need to really force rely on the tight end. Jimmy Graham, early he didn't practice, but we know he plays. He's just not playing very well for fantasy with the knee and thumb injuries. Mo Alie-Cox could return. That may cut in a little bit to the work of Eric Ebron, but keep in mind that Eric Swoop was moved on from as well. The Saints went up and picked Eric swooped him up, so to speak, to replace Brandon Marshall. So he's out of this mix now. So it's really Ebron dominating the touches, even with Mo Alie-Cox potentially returning. James O'Shaughnessy, if you really are desperate, you can look at him against the Redskins, but they are pretty good with DJ Swearinger covering the tight ends there as an ankle injury. O'Shaughnessy does. David Morgan was limited. There's a chance he could return. Why is David Morgan relevant behind Kyle Rudolph? Because he's the blocker there. He's the main guy that could open things up for Dalvin Cook for the Vikings this week. So that would be a welcome addition if they really want to commit to the run with their new offense coordinator, Kevin Stefanski, replacing John DeFilippo. Now, Rhett Ellison not practice ahead of this Tennessee game with an ankle injury. That means that Evan Engram fully bore there after big game. We'll have to see if Odell doesn't play. I think Odell playing hurts Engram a little bit with his targets, but I could see this being a nice game there for the wide receivers, and the Titans are pretty good against the tight end in general. We have Jordan Reed back to where he usually is, an ankle, foot, multiple injuries, probably going to miss a game or two, maybe really shut down for the whole season for Washington. The Jacksonville Jaguars have been vulnerable to the tight end at times, but I don't really like it for Vernon Davis. You can take a shot there if you need it. Now, Steven Hauschka is probably not going to be available. You're probably not looking at Steven Hauschka, although he had a pretty nice game last week against the Jets. Left a few things on the table. Part of it probably tied to the hip injury, and something we're definitely going to watch there. And if you need another kicker, you should be able to find one with relative ease there this week. Now, in terms of other injuries we're looking at, defensively, Grady Jarrett, it could be a big loss for the Falcons. Reason why we really like Johnson, David Johnson. There's a groin and shoulder injury there. Now, we'll have to see about Kenny Clark of the Packers. He can be a pretty good disruptor there. Early practice, unable to with an elbow. So if he's out, that really helps the Bears offense in a variety of ways. You look at the Eagles, they're banged up up front. That's good for Todd Gurley with Michael Bennett and Tim Jernigan. Looking at the Bucks, they're really banged up as well with Gerald McCoy at the shoulder, Jason Pierre-Paul, the knee and hip injury. That's good news for Lamar Jackson and that Ravens running back by committee with Kenneth Dixon and Gus Edwards. Montez Burfict could miss another game. I really like Doug Martin in this game for the Raiders. It's a good spot for him there with this defense really not being able to stop anything at the moment. Now, Sean Lee could return there against the Colts. That could make it a little tougher on the running game. It already is for Marlon Mack, so Mack is avoidable. I still think Leighton Vander Esch is going to start over Lee, but Lee could work in there in a few snaps. Now, another reason to like Todd Gurley for a rebound game, Jordan Hicks not playing again for the Eagles. Not much else that we look at linebacker there. Now, at defensive back, a few things we're looking at. Marlon Humphrey has been playing through his groin injury for the Bucs. He's actually not been as good as Jimmy Smith, so could open things up for the number two receiver there, but still really tough to trust a Bucs receiver this week beyond Mike Evans. Now, Denzel Ward, we'll have to see again. If he plays, he's probably going to be on Cortland Sutton on the outside, so that could make it a really tough matchup for him, but he's got the concussion there. Obviously, a bump up for Sutton if he can't go. On the other side of that game on Saturday, Chris Harris Jr. is not playing, so that's perfect for Jarvis Landry working the slot. He's going to be missing the rest of the season here. So, not too much there that we look at. I think the notable one is Xavien Howard maybe missing another game. That's good for Stephon Diggs. Obviously, they're really bad secondary there against the Vikings. That's why we like Diggs and Thielen in both year-long and DFS a ton this week. Stephon Gilmore had the ankle injury last week, but could be a tough matchup there for Antonio Brown. He'll still get his, but I wouldn't expect a big game with Gilmore shadowing him for most of the day. And two injuries there in that Seattle-San Francisco game. If you need a little bit more faith in George Kittle, I don't know why you would need any more, but Bradley McDougal's been pretty good covering the tight end. He had actually a quiet game, relatively quiet game 2 weeks ago there in Seattle, but Dougal, if he doesn't go, that's going to really help Kittle have another smash game potentially there against Seattle. And you look at the 49ers with Jaquiski Tartt. I don't know if you're going to trust Nick Vanette or somebody like that, but that could help a little bit of in the passing game for the Seahawks, not having to worry about Tartt or Kawan Williams in the slot. So with Doug Baldwin not in there, unfortunately, it's probably not going to take advantage of it, but if Williams or Baldwin can't play, he can take advantage of that Williams spot this week. So there you have it. There's a look at the key injuries there for week 15, the weekend. A lot of interesting things there, but mostly healthy guys on the front line. Some quarterback issues that we're looking at for sure. So that should get you all set for the week. You're set with the waiver wire pickups. We did that weekly waiver wire there at home. We had the matchups for all the games with Jeff Ratcliffe and today's show as well. So check out those shows if you missed anything to get your progressive and all your information for the week. Check out that DraftKings Listener League here on the Locked On Alpha Network. Play and have a chance to win some money here. $3 contest. Good opportunity to get in on it now. And good luck in your DFS games. Good luck in your year-long playoff games this week. And we'll talk to you next week on Locked On Fantasy Football.